Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
This is an interesting one to watch because it's been a growing theme that has been developing under 80-20. And the director of 80-20, it's a research institution that takes a look at key themes that influence our lives as consumers. Andrew Fulton, the director, joins us now to tell us more about the latest insights we can be mindful of when it comes to the analysis of the state of coffee in South Africa. Andrew, welcome back to the show. So good to have you back again.
Thanks. It's always nice to be on the show, Bubu.
Excited to speak to you. I read this and then I quickly went back to previous notes and previous articles and research material that we had, and I realized this has been an ongoing theme regarding, I guess, just our preferences regarding coffee in South Africa, whether it's brands, pricing, or consumption trends. One thing is for certain, it's just a consumer market or segment or product offering that can't be ignored. Is coffee that popular in South Africa?
Absolutely. I mean, that's why we keep writing about it. You've got 22.7 million people in South Africa, as half the adult population, who consume coffee on a nearly daily basis. So, I mean, yeah, it is a massive category. Lots of people live for it. I mean, I often lay in bed and just think about, I'm going to get up and I'm going to make some coffee. And,
right.
And that's what gets me up. So I'm sure I'm not unlike a lot of people in South Africa in that way.
100%. I'm one of them too. And for me, it's usually the smell, the aroma that gets me going. But outside of the aroma, maybe we also need to take a look at the pricing. Given that this is a business show, this has been a keen area where the price of coffee, much like cocoa, has been on a significant surge. The last report that I think we focused on here on the show was that coffee prices was actually increasing by 40%. And that's on a large scale if we take a look at the supply chain regarding coffee beans. Has anything changed or shifted since then?
Yeah, it has moderated since then. I mean, when it hit its peak, as you mentioned, I mean, that was last year. And last year it was extremely high. There was a sort of perfect storm of environmental problems in Brazil, a failure of some crops, some really bad weather, supply chain issues around the world. I know my own personal favorite went from 400 rand a bag to 800 rand a bag, and just priced me out of it completely. I couldn't actually buy it anymore. So what's happened since then is inflation has moderated. What is fascinating is I don't know if you probably are aware, but they recalibrated the basket for CPI, and they actually removed ground coffee. So ground coffee was last August, I remember, it was about 13.6% year on year growth. It's now taken out of the basket completely, replaced with rosé, wine, and snuff. Wow. So we've only really got instant coffee to look at, which has experienced 10% inflation over the past year, which is certainly down from its above 20% this time last year.
Oh, wow. That's quite a shift. And I think one for us to be cognizant of. So does that essentially negate its importance in terms of, you know, price tracking or inflationary tracking? Or does that just mean consumers are spending more on some of the other categories you announced?
Yeah, I think it's more to just more people buy those categories. I mean, the number of people that drink ground coffee in South Africa, it's only, in inverted commas, about 2.8 million people. So when you compare that to sort of 20 million drinking instant coffee, it's obviously, if you're going to pick one to keep in the basket, and you'd rather have instant coffee in there. But yeah, rosé wine, I mean, we'll have to do something on that for Christmas, I think, around alcohol, and get an idea of how many people drink rosé, because I can't imagine rosé is up in the you know, the teens, millions. But well, I'll let you know in December on that one.
Oh, perfect. Okay, we have a date then before we get wrap up the year. But keeping with coffee, outside of the prices also increasing, and as you've mentioned, because there's just been so many factors driving the cost globally, are we seeing that too is playing out in the demand or I guess cost spending behavior for coffee in South Africa, and maybe outside of what we purchase for our homes, but even, you know, making a stop at a local coffee spot?
Yeah, it's actually changed. I mean, last year we did notice a little bit of a shrinking in the coffee market. I think people were reacting to, obviously, the inflation. And you think people, they absorb those shocks, you know, like you look at the price, you're like, oh, I can't afford that. But 6 months later, you've kind of absorbed it and you move on. So we noticed that coffee consumption in South Africa has gone up by 8% in the last year. And coffee globally, 10.16 million tons this year, up from 9.99 million tons. So yeah, that's the highest production we've ever had in the history of the world. And so bodes well. You know, people are drinking it a lot.
How much of this coffee consumed in South Africa is locally produced versus imported from other markets?
I actually don't know the answer to that. I don't imagine much of it's locally produced. We don't really have a coffee growing culture. I mean, there certainly would be African coffee from Kenya and Tanzania, Rwanda, Burundi, but I'm not aware of an actual South African one. But the brands, you know, what I'm liking is I'm seeing a lot of, you know, the same way we had microbreweries about 15 years ago, we've got sort of coffee companies coming up, like, say, Cedar Coffee, Father Coffee. There's some great local coffee shops around that you can still get before bootlegger snatches them up, and enjoy a cup of kind of local brew. Not that bootlegger isn't local as well.
Got you, Andrew. I guess as we, you know, take a look at these dynamics and shifting themes in consumer behavior, is it telling us of a changing time and maybe changing consumer demands? And is this also something that could be correlated to a generational shift at all? I only ask this because I read somewhere that Gen Zs are about more conscious living, healthier drinks, healthier lifestyles, avoid alcohol, even avoiding caffeine. And I'm not too sure if that's playing some kind of influence at all in terms of some outcomes you would have noticed.
There's a couple things. I mean, we did notice that. We did a piece on tea about 6 months ago, and that was definitely fading into that sort of more healthy lifestyle. You know, maybe switching from alcohol to tea. But what we're noticing in coffee, I mean, like with any industry, if you don't innovate, you kind of fall back. And coffee pods is an interesting innovation that we've noticed that's really getting more cachet amongst the young people. In fact, they've got the two markets that are most highly coveted is the wealthy and the youth. And that's sort of, you know, an interesting innovation. You can get one of those kind of, not an espresso, but a pod coffee machine now for about 600 rand. So they're really, you know, a lot of people are consuming in that way, and they consume more in a day than somebody else, probably just because of the ease. You plop it in, you hit a button, and there's your coffee in it, and it tastes pretty good. But some other innovations we've looked at that are the youth. I mean, we noticed that healthy living, going for hikes and stuff, it's nice to go on a hike with a can of coffee. So people are bringing canned coffee. Bootlegger sells a cold brew for 44 rand. You can take a few of those cold ones on a hike with you. And then sachets. You know, the same way you would drink tea, you'd like dip a little sachet of coffee into some boiling water out of a flask on a hike. There's some innovations that we're seeing with that are appealing more to the youth than other people in South Africa.
That's so intriguing. You mentioned the iced coffee, canned coffee. Is that a growing trend as well? I know in America it's booming, but in South Africa, are we finding that there's a shift in our taste buds?
I'm sure we will. And as this hot, hot, hot summer hits, you know, people are going to rather go for a cold brew than a hot coffee when they're in the middle of the day and walking around Sandton. Nespresso has an espresso concentrate that you can buy, keep in your fridge, pour it over ice with a little bit of milk, and you've got a cold brew there. Or you can buy the cans for a number of people. Or you can make it yourself, you know, brew it the night before in a French press and keep it in the fridge overnight, and you've got cold brew in the morning.
Got you. So interesting. And I guess to close off with, is this a telling of a particular trend that might be occurring and how things might shift in the short to medium term? Whether it's coffee pricing or coffee demand or coffee products, are there key insights maybe that we are seeing FMCGs also trying to work on and develop?
Yeah. I mean, look, there's everyone's kind of getting in on the game because it is such a popular thing. And you know, I guess it is in some ways addictive too, just like cigarettes or alcohol. But yeah, just the place it keeps in people's minds is certainly going to make sure that most companies are coming up with some kind of coffee product if they're in the FMCG world.
Perfect. Andrew, we'll leave it there for today, but really appreciate your feedback, analysis of Keith. Trends and themes that help us understand what our behavior looks like and how it's influencing the business environment too. Always a pleasure speaking to you, and our next conversation will be on wine and rosé.
It will in December. Thanks, Google.
Thanks so much. Andrew Fulton, director at 8020, a leading consumer strategy and research analytics company, giving us some insight into coffee preferences in South Africa. Let me know, what are your thoughts? Are there certain preferences you have when it comes to consuming coffee? Are you aware that the coffee price has actually surged by more than 40%? And it's not just the grocery store or perhaps your coffee spot where you might want to buy your favorite coffee bean roast, whether it's Kenyan coffee or from other markets like Indonesia or even parts of South America. But there's a lot that's really shifting our preferences and what it is that we enjoy. So let us know. Coffee preferences, how many cups do you have a day? And do you consider just the influence that this has within the business environment in the country? and the world. 0636880959. You're listening to Kaya Biz.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.